This is the Wu Wei Wisdom Podcast. Our weekly no-nonsense life lessons aim to inspire you to master your emotional and spiritual health, achieve balance, harmony, and flow, and rediscover the authentic and awesome you. We're your hosts, David James Lees and Alexandra Lees. This episode comes from our YouTube teaching archives. This week, we're talking all about fixer and rescuer syndrome. Now, are you always the fixer, rescuer, or people pleaser in your relationships? Perhaps you actively seek out or always end up with a partner who desperately needs your help, desperately needs your support, and wants to be saved in some way. And so your relationships end up unhealthy and unbalanced. Well, if you can recognize any of these issues, this week's teaching is for you. We're going to be explaining what drives this fixing and rescuing habit and how you can stop this once and for all. Okay, David, so this issue of always fixing and rescuing people, what's going on here?
Well, you know, it's more common than what you think. I was surprised, you know, how many times you hear this. You hear this from females, normally when they say things like, I thought I could change him. I worked hard to change him. I thought I could really help him. He was struggling and I went in to help him. It works from males when I normally hear, oh, I've been accused of being a control freak. I've been accused of wanting to be in control of everything. So I think it plays out more frequently than what we begin to realise.
And I guess as a relationship counsellor as well, as a kind of one-to-one therapist, do you, when you have couples coming together, do you find that this is a common issue?
It's more common than what you think, because it's starting off the relationship from an unbalanced position. So if you're a person that's looking for someone to fix and to help, it's starting off, instead of, you know what we're saying, in Wu Wei, we're always looking for that balance. That balance is never fixed. It's always moving. So it's absolutely wonderful to be able to support each other, but that support should be equally given and received. It shouldn't be unbalanced where the one person is in the role of the fixer, the person that's going to save the other person, and the other person is the person that needs to be fixed. Because if you start off with that position, that's the relationship unbalanced right at the beginning, and then it doesn't get balanced unless someone changes their, what I would call, belief systems. They might call their standards.
So, but David, in last week's video, we talked about why people want to be saved, why people want to be rescued. And if there is a relationship where one person is the person who wants to be saved and one person is the person who wants to be the fixer and rescuer, isn't that a match made in heaven?
No, because how many times then do you, say if you're a female, you start off thinking you've got a white knight, a white in shining armour that's coming and going to protect me and put me in a beautiful cotton wool ball and look after me. And then after a few years, you start saying, well, hang on a bit, he's telling me how to have my hair. He's telling me what clothes to wear. He's telling me what to do, what I shouldn't do, what I can do, what I can't do. And it's the same with the other side. The male will be saying, well, she's like my mother. She's choosing my clothes. She's telling me what to eat. I'm putting on too much weight. I can't go out with my mate to football or something. And so what happens is the balance doesn't kind of correct itself. It actually becomes worse and worse and worse until it becomes almost unbearable. And that's when what the red lights are demonstrating that the relationship is unbalanced. So when you're dissatisfied, when you're upset, when you believe you're in a controlling situation, these are the results of the unbalanced situation. It has to be balanced. For a relationship, as I explained last week, look at the word, to relate. So that means that if you need some support, your partner is there to support you. But that should not be set in stone, that that's the relationship. That relationship should ebb and flow, like the tide coming and going in. And that's how the energy flows. The energy isn't fixed in one position. It has to move and flow and ebb and flow and do all the things that a normal, healthy relationship would be able to do.
So if someone is, I guess, noticing that they are in a pattern of relationships where they are either ending up as, either the, it kind of wasn't intended, but this is how it's ended up, that they are the fixer and rescuer and their partner is very kind of needy and dependent on them emotionally. This is what we're talking about here, emotionally. Or if they discover, they notice there's a pattern here, a cycle of entering into relationships with a partner who is a needy person, emotionally wants to be fixed, wants to be saved. What's at the root of this? Because there must be something driving this reoccurring desire. Even if they say, oh, well, that relationship was a disaster, I'm never going to do it again. But then they end up in the same type of relationship.
Yeah. So it comes down to what we call the three lies. The three lies in the Wu Wei model is very important. Remember them? I'm not good enough. I can't cope. I'm unlovable and I'm unworthy. I would say on the subject we're talking about today, the three lies are relevant in mainly I can't cope, but I'm not good enough as well. So when you look at the three lies, and if you've ever said any one of those to yourself, then you're in this carousel of despair that we call it. So the three lies is the emotional pendulum. Let's deal with the second one. I can't cope. So you have people that go to one extreme and say, I can't cope. I need a savior. The video last week, have a look at that. We talked about that one. But the other side of the pendulum is the person who thinks he can cope, who thinks they can sort things out, who thinks it's their role. And both of these have the same root. And the root is value, is validation, is looking externally for value, validation, approval, being loved. See how the three lies? Wanting to be approved of, wanting to be thought that they are a savior. Oh my goodness, I couldn't live without you. You've come in and you sorted out all my problems. And here's where the pendulum starts swinging backwards and forwards. Both of the extremes of the pendulum, this is so important. Both of the extremes of the pendulum will create red light feelings. We want to come into the center. We want you on Wu Wei. That's what the center means. Now, that center is not fixed. It's never the same. It's always moving and flowing. That's why your belief systems have got to be right. You've got to be clear on your belief systems. But as soon as you look externally, excuse me, as soon as you look externally for someone to fix you or to someone to save, you've moved the balance. You've moved out of the pendulum.
So, from what you've just said there, David, the fixer and the saver in the relationship, he's not struggling with the I can't cope lie because that's the person who wants to be saved. They don't have an issue there because they do think they can cope and they also think it's their role to help everyone else cope. Yep. And the reason for that is because they do have an issue with the other two lies, yep. I'm unlovable or I'm not good enough. That swung out of balance on their emotional pendulum. And so therefore they see their ability to cope and to prove to everyone else they can cope and that they are strong and that they have value by rescuing and saving and fixing other people's problems.
That's right. They see their worth.
They have their worth attached to it. And then that helps them validate them because deep down they actually believe they're not good enough or they're unlovable.
Absolutely.
And if they don't have the value represented by being able to help someone or fix them or look after them or placate them or please them, then they have no value at all.
Exactly. So you see, It's like a pancake has two sides. It's the other side of please save me. The other side is I can save everyone and then I will get value. Then they will be, they'll put me on a pedestal. They will adore me. They will need me. Here's another thing. Here's another thing that I hear. They will need me. I will be needed. I will be needed. They couldn't live without me. They couldn't survive without me at the helm guiding the ship. And so then again, it's the same thing because they're looking externally instead of looking internally for validation, worth, and all of the things that move you out of the balance. Wu Wei is about loving and caring for yourself. Wu Wei is about understanding that love is a feeling, an emotion. That's what love is. It's a wonderful emotion, a powerful emotion, but you create it. And what the White Knight is looking for is for someone else to give them this commodity of love. And they see that being saved as, oh my goodness, you made my life so wonderful. They see that as love, and there's the misunderstanding.
And that makes them feel good about themselves.
That's what makes them feel good. But it's the same problem now, Alex, because now they are relying on other people to create the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So
And then you've got the codependency.
Exactly.
And this is a codependent relationship we're talking about.
Exactly.
This reliance. So the person who wants to be saved is reliant on the fixer. The fixer who wants to feel valued and validated by being able to save someone, they are both relying on each other. This is codependency and this is manipulation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's emotional manipulation. I love that word. I know a lot of my clients hate when I use that word, but I think it's a good word because I think in some way all human beings manipulate, but what they're trying to do is emotionally manipulate or in some cases emotionally blackmail. I would put it up one other step. And so a fixer, it's very difficult for a fixer not to go into a controller. It's very difficult because those levels become very skewed. So for a male, all of a sudden, you're telling your partner, your wife, what she should wear, what she should do, what she should cook, what she shouldn't cook, and for a female, it's starting what a male, oh my goodness, I hear this, oh, she's nagging, she's always nagging, she's always finding fault, she's always criticizing, I can never please, and so it falls into this, it's like a fencing match, have you got this, you know, it's almost like, instead of being a relationship where you are relating, you're almost, and this is why, answer to your question, why it doesn't get better, why it's not a match made in heaven. Because you're creating a separation. And this is what Wu Wei wisdom is all about a oneness. A relationship should be a oneness where you're equally supporting each other through different parts of your journey together. That's why a relationship is so wonderful when you get it right. That ability to relate, to work together. So one partner will be very good at some things, another partner will be very good at some things, and you appreciate each other's strengths and you're aware of those areas where you're not so good and you can kind of cover up for each other. And this is a healthy relationship.
And I think, David, from what you said, it sounds like a healthy relationship is one where the both partners as individuals and the relationship is allowed to flourish and grow and transform. By contrast, when we are in a codependent, manipulative setup where one person's the fixer, one person wants to be saved, it's almost like both individuals have got to stay the same for that imbalanced relationship to carry on in its form. Because as you said, as soon as one person wants to get better, as soon as you fix someone to the extent that they can stand on their own two feet, they're like, well, I don't need your help now.
Exactly.
I don't need your help now. And then it's like the relationship naturally self-destructs.
Exactly.
If you want to be the fixer and saver, you have to move on to someone else and start a new project,
that's
essentially.
Right. Well explained, Alex. I couldn't agree with you more. When I left university, good many years ago now, My first job was in an organization called Marriage Guidance. It's now called Relate, which I think is a really good word. And I was fresh out of university, and my mentor said something to me. She didn't use the word energy, but I'm going to use that word because I think it best describes it. And this is the piece of advice she gave to me. She said, David, you must remember in the counselling room, there are three energies. The energy in those days, it used to be male and female, but the energy of one partner, the energy of the other partner, and the energy of the relationship. And the energy of the relationship will only maintain if the two partners want it to maintain. And so when you are trying to fix other people, or when you want to be fixed, you're not thinking about the energy of the relationship. You're thinking about your own energy. And that's why the energy of the relationship with us, in any relationship, you should be equally concerned about the energy, the flow, the wu-wei of the relationship. And if it's all about, I want to be saved, or I want to be saved, as Alex says, to be held in great esteem, you're not working on the energy of the relationship. You're working on your own, what you perceive to be needs. Mm. And that goes back to the three lies. But David, I need to be loved. But David, I'm not good enough. I want to be put on a pedestal. So remember the emotional pendulum. I'm not good enough also means I want to be put on a pedestal. And if you have that belief, I'm not good enough, then you'll be wanting other people to put you on a pedestal. That's what makes you into that white knight.
But David, what if someone says, okay, I take your point. It shouldn't, the relationship shouldn't just be about me getting validation. But I'm a naturally kind, giving, sensitive person. How do I know when I am stepping in to help someone because it's authentically my authentic kindness, my authentic sensitivity, my authentic empathy, my authentic willingness to give, and I'm happy to give? How do I know the difference between that and when it's kind of like my ego, my human-centered mind driving me because I just want to feel good about myself because I don't want to be upset when I see them upset. I want to feel good and I want to feel validated. How do I know the difference?
Well, you've kind of answered your own question because you be authentic. So absolutely, I hope you're kind and caring and compassionate. I hope you value your partner and I hope you value the relationship. I hope you're doing as much as you can to maintain and support your partner, maintain and support your relationship. Now, that's authentic. You're doing that because that's your authentic truth. You're not doing it to get validated. You're not doing it because you want you seek their approval. You're not doing it because you want them to tell you you're the best thing since sliced bread. You're not doing it for those reasons. As you explained, you're doing it from your authenticity, from your Shen. And this is why I'm always saying to you, the big difference between the Wu Wei wisdom approach is that we consider your spirituality, what we call Shen. Your Shen, who you really are as a person. Are you doing this because this is authentic to you? This is what you want to do. Not worrying about what their reaction to you are, not because you want them to approve of you, to validate you, to do things the way you think they should be done. You're doing it because it's authentic to you. So if you listen back, if you roll back the tape and listen to Alex's question, she actually answered her own question, because if you're doing it for the other reasons, then you're not being authentic, are you? You're being manipulative. I like the word. You're being manipulative. You're saying, well, I'm going to help you because I want you. It's like an IOU. I'm going to do this and then I'm going to write a little IOU. And then you can say a few weeks later, oh, remember when I did this to you? I want some payback now. See, and that's not authentic. If you do something from your Shen, you're not looking for any payback, any IOU. You're not looking to tick the boxes that you can throw it back in their faces. And if you're doing that, then you're not being authentic.
I think for some people, they would say, David, this is a little bit more nuanced. My situation is a bit more nuanced because you're talking about, is me fixing or helping this person now in my relationship? Is it the authentic thing to do, or is it just the kind of easy thing to do for a quiet life? Or, you know, it's like, how do I know the difference?
Well, you know the difference. Again, you've answered your own question. If you're doing it for a quiet life, then is that authentic?
Yeah.
If you're doing it because it's what you want to do, it's the way that you want to live, you should be the happy bunny. You should be absolutely producing green light feelings like crazy. You should be the natural carer for your partner, for your children, for your family, for your siblings, for your next door neighbor, because that is what you want to do. Now, if you're doing it and in the back of your mind is going, they never do anything for me, they never do the same for me, then you're doing it for another reason. You're doing it to get a payback. And what I'm saying is you should be doing it because it reflects who you are. Remember the second blessing on the Shen contract: truth, honesty, integrity. You should be doing everything because it's your truth, you're honest about it, and you're doing it with integrity. If you're doing it for a manipulation, that's not having your integrity intact.
And I think what you said, David, there is so important, that if we have any red light feelings, I mean, so we're not talking about like a one-off situation where your partner's asking you for support. We're talking about ongoing kind of heavy emotional demands from your partner, and a kind of a not a give and take, not a give and take in the relationship. If there is red light feelings of resentment, anxiety, creeping frustration, that although you could justify it to yourself, well, it's the caring thing to do, it's the sensitive thing to do, you are essentially sacrificing your own self-worth. You're sacrificing your own emotional health. You're not putting in place authentic boundaries within the relationship.
And that's why emotional feelings are so important. You know, and some people, when they first look at our model, they misunderstand and they think I'm saying ignore your feelings. And I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying interpret your feelings. So if you get a red light feeling, and that's why I don't like to give it a name. Alex mentioned some names, resentment, being controlled. If you're producing red light feelings, there's something that you need to do the golden thread on, that we've demonstrated on many videos, and we're going to do a course on it soon, that you can say, right, now, I've just created a red light feeling. Let's call it resentment. I would prefer to call it a red light feeling. I've created that feeling. Now, let's find out what it is, the why I'm creating that feeling. I will almost guarantee that when you do the golden thread, why I'm doing this, because, you know, I've showed you this, it'll come down to something like, it's not fair or it's unjust. Remember, it's not fair means it's not the way I want it to be. And you have to now address that situation, because that situation may have developed little bit by little bit over the years. And as Alex said, now the position is out of balance. And what you need to do is start to learn some techniques on how to address that, using the words, using your amazing sensitivity. You would not be listening to this if you was not a sensitive person. You can address these issues with sensitivity. Sensitivity does not mean you are weak. Sensitivity means you can address complicated, difficult situations. That's why you're listening to us. These are not easy situations. But what we have to do, first of all, is to clear the confusion. Because that confusion is stopping you from analyzing the situation and analyzing your own beliefs truthfully. That's the first step. I always say to my clients, don't worry about the issues. Let's talk about you. Let's get your belief system right. What, I say this each video, don't I? What do you believe? Why do you believe it? That's so important. Before you address the external stuff, address the internal stuff. If you are the white knight, if you are looking for a man to change, if you are looking for a woman to save, ask yourself, oh, well, I recognize that. First step, why do I do that? Here's the golden thread. Where did I get that from? I didn't come out the womb as a white knight. Where did I learn that from? Who taught me this? How did I develop that? And that's the golden thread. So you're clearing the maze of confusion and you're coming down and you're understanding the root cause. And that's the Wu Wei model.
And I would imagine, David, this idea of doing this self-reflection work, sometimes we can let the emotional kind of tornado of the relationship and how demanding your partner or their emotional needs, we can actually choose to let that become the focus of our attention.
Absolutely.
Because it helps us avoid doing this deeper work that you're talking about. It's an avoidance.
Absolutely. And that's why the most spiritual teaching I can pass on to you is you are the creator of your emotions. You are not the victim of them. And as Alex has just explained, when you're in this emotional, we call the carousel of despair, the self-fulfilling prophecy, you're going round and around and around. And some of my clients, I can't believe it. They say things like, oh, it's easier. It's easier. No, no, it's not easier. It's familiar. You're just used to it. And Alex has just explained it perfectly. It's an avoidance because you know that when you address those issues, there's going to be some fireworks. And that's why it's very important before you address the issues, you address your own personal issues. You clear the confusion because I want you to address those challenging issues in your relationship with sensitivity, with calmness, with Wu Wei balance. Be able to say what you mean, be able to say clearly, listen to the other partner, have a discussion. Not from an emotional state. We call it the inner child, but some of my clients like to call it their emotional mind. It's the same thing. You don't want to deal with your partner from a little child about 8 years old who has temper tantrums and stamps the feet and goes to the room crying. You want to address those issues from the sensitive, mature, calm human being that you are. And that's what this model is all around.
I mean, David, what kind of comes into my mind from what you're saying is we can all, whether it's, I guess, about ourselves and our own relationships or friends and family members that we know, sometimes it can be very easy to spot this surface level imbalance in a relationship where one person is always the fixer and rescuer and is always going for the person who needs to be rescued and saved. And we, you know, for most of us, it's fairly easy to spot that from as an outsider, those sorts of relationships. But what we don't have an appreciation of is the much more fundamental, deeper imbalance that's driving that surface level relationship with that person who wants to be the fixer and rescuer and how they are using the relationship as an avoidance of the lie within the core belief system, like we said at the very start, that they're not good enough, that they are not lovable. And in fact, that they actually are the ones that want to be rescued. They're the ones that need the help. They're the ones who are presenting themselves as, I can cope. I'm the strong person here. I can sort out any problem. But actually deep inside, their inner child is just crying out to be helped and supported.
Yeah. And we've spoke more about romantic relationships, but this equally applies to family relationship. This equally replies, doesn't matter how old you are, to your relationships with your parents. This savior, have you got a savior in your dad or your mom? Always stepping in, always telling you what you should be doing, always giving you, oh, you did that wrong, or you should be doing this. And this is the same principle, you see. It's still a relationship. And how many times are you doing things and worried about what they're going to say to you, what they think about you, what their opinion of you are? And so they might be the white knight. And that is really difficult for a parent. And if you're a parent, this applies to you because there's a time in your child's life where you are having to guide them and tell them what to do. And there's a time when you have to step back and stop telling them what to do. And I know from myself, it's very difficult when you see a child that you love perhaps making a decision that you wouldn't make. And how do you address that? And that's where your greatest quality. We always say, Alex, come up with this saying live on one video. your sensitivities, your superpower. I loved it because that's exactly what it is. It's your superpower. Being sensitive does not mean being weak. Being a highly sensitive person means you are an extremely sensitive person and you can deal with these very complicated situations with sensitivity, another word that Alex has used, authenticity, that you're authentic. So if you're in a relationship where your parent, I'm just using father as an example, is very dictatorial, wants to keep telling you what to do, what you shouldn't be doing, who you should be, what career you should be with, how you should be reaching, the standards, the high bar we talk about, this is your opportunity to practice your sensitivity. I agree with what Alex says. He's showing that really, in some ways, how much he loves you, but he can't express it in a balanced way. He expresses it in a very domineering way. And this is why these two videos are very important, because they're showing you this inconsistency about getting a good relationship that's balanced. And that relationship won't always be set. It'll always be moving and flowing, because that's the way of nature. That's the ebb and flow, the tide coming in and coming out, and you should be maintaining that.
And I think, David, when you refer to like the family issues and parents and almost like these established roles, whether it's within a family unit or within the relationship unit, I guess there is part of our psyche, our human-centered mind, or I guess it's our inner child that sees comfort and security in falling into the patterns of having these roles that, you know, if I can play out this role as the head of the household, or if I can play out this role as the strong person in the relationship, the fixer and rescuer, there is comfort. The mind, the ego, the inner child sees there is comfort, security and familiarity in that role, but it perpetuates the problem.
It does. It's familiarity. It's familiarity. So if you've been brought up and let's reverse the roles and you are your parents' kind of savior, you have to keep stepping in, and your parents were telling you things that you shouldn't be hearing as a child, and you were like more like a sister and a brother rather than a parent and a child. That familiarity, although you know it's not healthy, that familiarity stays in place and it doesn't improve. And that's why you have to address it with sensitivity. Is this easy? No. It's one of the most emotionally, spiritually challenging things that you can do as a human being. And that's why I believe we have to bring in spirituality. It cannot just be emotional. It has to be, first of all, you connecting to your spirituality, to your Shen, for you to be at one with yourself. You see, these are all spiritual now things. For you to be in balance, for your thoughts to be something, what you believe in your thoughts and why you're believing, to be clear on what you believe and how you live. So it all starts with you first, and then you address the relationship issues. And until you're clear, until you've done what we call the golden thread, the self-inquiry, to understand the little tweaks that you have to do in your belief system, then you'll be much better placed to go and address the external, whether it's with your children, whether it's with your partner, whether it's with your parents, whether it's with your siblings. See, elder brothers, elder sister can still believe that they're in control of you, can't they? Whether it's with your friends, whether it's with your boss. So this hierarchical thing I spoke about last week can relate to any situation.
I want to just point out we've done two really helpful reference teachings on the topics you've just talked about there. First of all, dysfunctional families and the effect that that has on how we want to be when we're older in terms of our relationships. So, for example, if our parents were dysfunctional or our upbringing was dysfunctional in any way, we can play out this fixer and saver, this white knight role as an adult in our relationships. The other thing really, which is kind of reoccurring, whether you are the fixer and saver yourself and you want to almost take a step back because you know that's a healthy thing to do, or if you're in a relationship with a fixer and a saver who is wants to micromanage everything in your life now and you're not happy with it, it all comes back to setting authentic boundaries.
And to set authentic boundaries, you have to set authentic boundaries with yourself. You have to go back to what is setting those authentic boundaries. I call it beliefs. You may call it standards, morals, principles. Some of my clients like the word principles. What are your basic principles? What are your beliefs? And this really is the life lesson. We're talking about the life lesson. It starts with you. Thank goodness. It doesn't involve anyone else. And this doing it with you might take a few weeks or a couple of months to really sort out. If you like journaling, if you like writing things down, sit down. What do I believe? Why do I believe it? Where did that belief come from? Do the golden thread. Work it through so you understand, where did you learn this from? If you mirrored this, or did you jump in as a child as you're seeing yourself, I better step in here and sort out my parents. Is that something you've done? And then you can start. Once, you know, we have a saying, you hear me say it all the time, you cannot change what you don't understand. The first step in all of these videos, the life lesson, is for you to understand where you have to make those adjustments, because that's much easier with you adjusting to get somebody else to adjust to you. It's much better for you to make the adjustments, for you to be able to be flexible, manipulate your way down the river, to move your way around the boulders. It's much better for you to be in control of that.
And I think, I mean, we've done a teaching on setting boundaries, and I think it's so important to, as you said, to do the work for yourself first, so you're absolutely clear and rooted as to, yes, this is the way I would like things to be for me from now onwards. And then you have to communicate those new kind of boundaries or these new set of goals, I guess, for your relationship and how you're going to relate to your partner in a sensitive and timely way. So you have to pick the right words and the right time. And once you first start communicating this, so either I just can't rush in and help you with this every single time, you know, well, you're going to have to, we can work together so you can learn to support yourself, or I just don't want you to micromanage me in this way anymore. You may get some pushback at first.
You will get some
pushback because you're now changing the, you want to kind of have a cooperative change of the energy and dynamic of the relationship. And your partner may not want to hear that.
Yeah, no, you will get some pushback, because once you start to move the relationship, the energy of the relationship, you have to try and communicate sensitively to your partner what's going on here and see if that will move. And I know what you're saying, well, it won't change, and it may not change, but that's why it has to start with you, because you are an important part of this relationship. You have to get your belief structure right. You have to know what, as Alex called, boundaries, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable to you. And so that may mean some kind of verbal or emotional conflict. And that's why you have to be very stable in what you believe. But if we can do this right, if you can start from the right base, then you can find a way around these blocks much easier, because you're thinking correctly. You're not acting from your emotions. You're acting from your spirituality, from your love, from your authenticity. You are awesome. You can do this. You deserve to be living that life in balance and harmony. And it doesn't always, you know, we all go through difficult situations. And it's about returning back to the Wu Wei, returning back to your authentic balance. I love the word authentic. It means a lot to me, to be authentic. To think authentic. What do you believe? Why do you believe it? And making sure that you believe it, that you can stand up for what is true and honest and shows your integrity. You are displaying yourself to the universe. Display who you really are. And then you can find your way through all of these difficult, challenging scenarios that may be coming your path. Can I just say one more thing? It may not be as bad as you think it is. When you get yourself right, you may be surprised, this inner voice, and you'll look back, and how many times have you said to yourself, crikey, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be? because you've addressed it correctly and authentically.
And I think really, as you said, in any relationship, we should be allowed to be our authentic self, to grow and to flourish to our authentic best, and that we would want the same for the other person.
Absolutely.
And I will always remember, David, a saying that you had, which is so powerful and relevant to this teaching. And I guess it's probably the life lesson here, that our job is not to save people, but to support them while they save themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more, because I said it. I can't agree with you more. No, I think that's so true. And don't project ahead and look at all the problems. This is what my clients do. They are so creative at creating problems. They will project ahead. And one client said to me just last week, well, I like projecting the problems because I'm prepared for them. And I said, but all the problems you projected are not the ones you encounter. You encounter brand new ones. Why don't you deal with them as they present themselves and deal with them from the balance? Deal with them from your truth. Deal with them from your honesty. That defines you. Don't deal with them from your emotional mind, from your inner child. You don't want an 8-year-old in control of your life. You want to be in control of your life, acting that defines who you are. And I believe you can, because I believe you're awesome. And why do I say that? The people laugh and say, oh, you're just saying that. No, I'm not just saying that, because I believe we're all awesome. We're not perfect, but if you work from your authenticity, that means that you can deal with every situation. Where's my evidence? That's what you've done all through your life.
Yeah.
Every situation, you have dealt with it. Could you have dealt with it better? Well, yes, of course you could. That's what we're trying to do, is to get you in so you deal with it in the most balanced way you possibly can. And that's the life lesson. With so many life lessons in this teaching about being honest and truthful to yourself. Sort it out in your mind first. Don't try and sort out other people. Sort it out in your mind first.
Because we can always find excuses not to change, but we need to put a greater value on our own self-worth and our own potential as individuals and within a relationship.
Well, it's so much easier to say, well, my life would be great if you change. And I want your life to be great because you've changed.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, David. Well, I really hope this teaching has resonated with you. If it has, please do post a comment below or share it with someone who you think may also benefit. I will put a link in the description below to last week's video if you're interested in that, and also to our Love and Relationships playlist, which has all those videos on there about boundaries and relationships and love and what is love. Lots and lots for you to get stuck into there.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's Wu Wei Wisdom Life Lesson. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please rate and review us to help us grow. If you'd like to work one-to-one with David, he supports clients all over the world every week via video call. You can learn more about David's consultations, plus our online events, offers and gifts on our website, wuweiwisdom.com. You can also meet and share with us in our private Facebook group, on our YouTube channel, and on Instagram. Search for Wu Wei Wisdom and you'll find us. Until next time, stay happy, healthy, and in your flow.